Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning, talking fishing, having so much fun. Captain Brian Kiyohara of the American Angler this morning. We're just having a great time and talking about all the great sport fishing that has been had and going to have, and what a great show. What a fun one this has been, huh, Corey?
Incredible, Rick. The stories. I mean, just from the tackle innovations and just the people that were a part of Brian's history, you know, making his history today for the last 40 years and having a good time doing it. And if you want to join us, 213-432-1090. You got something to add or just something to comment on, you can do it that way. 213-432-1090. Or you can text us via the app, only done through the app, and make sure you leave your name and telephone number, because we're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing, and we're going to have Brian flip a coin at the end of the show. How about that?
When's the last time you've made a cameo appearance driving to San Diego? It's been a little while with Brawla taking the reins and being such a great island fisherman. It's been a while, but it's always fun to see the cameo appearance of Brian doing a full day trip on the San Diego.
Believe it or not, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Okay, there you go.
I walked down the dock, and Booger's walking down the dock, and he goes right into the wheelhouse and say hello and starts throwing up in the trash can.
Oh.
And I'm just going like,
dude, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he goes, I just said, where do you want to start? He goes, in the middle. And I go, okay, I'll get you up 2 miles from the middle, so drive to the bait receiver and then leave the harbor. And the deckhands are going, God, you know how to drive the boat? And I go, a little bit. And so I wake up Booger for 2 miles from the middle, and he makes a couple, he does the tour, no sign, makes a couple whitefish anchor jobs, and from his bunk goes, be at the dock by 6.
Oh, my God.
And then they're like, wait, what? And then so I went from an enjoyable time, you know, with my jig rod, you know, hoping to catch one on the plug, to like, now I'm driving.
Yeah, it's on.
Oh.
And so,
well, that's a good thing about you, Brian, and being on the boat, right?
I mean, I guess. It's like
inherited captain right there.
Yeah. I think we caught one.
Yeah.
You know, we ended up seeing some schools there at South Island and blowing up, boiling all over the place. And
boy, how that fishery's changed, huh?
Oh, it's, yeah.
I mean, the anchor jobs and having the yellows climb up the line and having Ray slide in and cut you off.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
You know.
Being third row at Pukey Point and just in the fog, like this morning when it was kind of raining, and just like you can't even see the boats, you know, that are front row. You could just hear them, oh, you know, you could hear the deckhands. Here they come, guys.
You could hear the fish climbing.
Yeah,
the line.
And then you could see them, you know, coming up the line, up current through all the boats. Because the next boat's, oh, you know. It was good times back then.
So as part of that change, I could ask, how were the sea lions that day? The fur bearer.
Well, times were different back then.
Right, I know. Yeah. We'll leave that untold. But with that being said.
Yeah, it's time for the catch report.
Right, it's brought to us by Norsk Lithium Batteries, and they're designed specifically for marine use. Norsk Lithium features prismatic cells for an extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. The Norsk Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to monitor the health and charging status by using their app on your phone, and Norsk also makes a complete
put them to the wood and flew over there, and it was
that's what his comment was, the hand line's
too
short.
The hand line's too short, and sure enough we pull up and Cy and Sean are up the side with
full
their hand line just going full speed.
Wow.
And you can, you know, like, I mean, what a difference. Yeah, you could see the dot on the horizon and he could tell what color shirt he was wearing.
Yeah, it was one of the, it was, but you know, just times out by just kelpin and bird and all that. It's like it's really, that's the biggest advancement that I've seen.
And I'm sure, like anything else, you know, you hone what you're looking for in a set of 7x50s. And I mean, you think about how much harder now you had to work for it then. But you take that, you know, you take that skill set in a crew member, and then you put them in a set of pipes that don't move, and there's nothing they don't see. You don't miss anything.
Yeah, if Rollo had a pair of gyros now, he could be telling you what's going on 10 miles away. That he was unbelievable in the 750s, but
amazing. Yeah.
When it wasn't that, when you guys were all in 750s, what were some of the highlights that you can remember picking off a bird or a porpoise from X amount of far away? And that was going to be one of the questions I asked, was of all the guys you did work with, who was the best in the glasses?
I remember Grabowski once, we filled in with us on the Royal, and he went down on the main deck with his 750s. We were outside Puerto Vallarta, and he was glassing, like, from the main deck. And we were all like, what is he doing? But his perspective of seeing a bird over the horizon from us on the wing and the mast, he saw these bird schools way before we did.
Really?
He just says, 30 right, just keep going. And because, you know, from a low perspective, they're
higher in the air.
You know what I mean?
Easier to see.
Yeah, you could see him.
Wow.
Above the horizon, where we're up on the wing and up in the mast,
looking down.
And so we're seeing ocean.
Yeah.
Whereas he could just see these little gnats.
Wow.
And you know, we must have ran for 45 minutes, and then there's these just giant booby bird schools with 100-pounders blowing out on them. So that's
rad.
One of the most amazing spots that I've ever seen was Johnny.
Wow. Especially because you don't expect it coming from the lower level.
Yeah.
You know? You put the guy all the way up top. And
But you think about
totally.
It. You know?
It makes sense. You're silhouetting the birds.
And what the hell is this guy doing down there?
Yeah. What's he thinking?
Yeah, what's he thinking? Yeah. Oh, boy, he showed us all.
You right? Exactly. Good old Grabowski, man.
That's cool. Well, let's jump back into them. Phones are packed up, Corey.
Yeah. Let's try Rich. Rich Combe from Bradley. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. Had a little hitch in the giddy up there with the transmission for a minute there.
We're glad to have you back on there, Rich. Good morning.
Well, that's awesome. A question about fish care and fish cleaning. It seems like everybody's gone to the fish processor. It puts out a really awesome product. But is fish cleaning on board still an option on some of the boats? Or,
you know, really,
or if it's not, how much?
You know, Rich, I'll say from the boat side of the view, we don't have enough personnel. Because, you know, when we go out on a two-day trip fishing bluefin, it's like we're fishing 24 hours a day. And so it's an all-night thing. It's an all-day thing. And, you know, we have excellent crew members, but I mean they're not superhuman, and so it's one of those things that
it's best done at the processor.
Yeah,
really,
there's just not enough time in the day to clean fish on an offshore type trip anymore.
And if you're talking a 60 pounder or better, and I mean a 160 pounder for crying out loud, like you couldn't literally do it. You couldn't give the fish its respect that it's due to properly do it.
Not with the new regulations.
No, you need to have the whole thing in a bag, and it just does. Once you put a knife into the loin, you've exposed it to the air. You're done. Like, it's better done refrigerated, kept it cold, and processed in a Sano sports, you know, fisherman's processing style, so that it's just Sano. Like, it's done right.
Yeah.
Respectfully.
With this bluefin, there's just no way you can do it.
And do it on a respectful level.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check powayvalleycollision.com.
Good morning, anglers. This is Bob Cook, captain of the Fat Tuna from the hit Nat Geo television show Wicked Tuna. The tuna are biting in San Diego, and right now, I would like to invite you to come fishing with me on the Liberty for the annual two-day Tuna Wars trip on June 25th and 26th. This trip is a wonderful opportunity to support Friends of Rollo, as all the proceeds raised benefit the Rollo program to take more kids fishing. If you would like to join me on this adventure, please contact Howard at RolloKids.org for more information or visit RolloKids.org. If you can't make the trip, plan on attending the captain's reception on Sunday, June 23 at Dana Landing, where you can meet me as well as Captain Dave Marciano and Nancy Marciano of the Hard Merchandise. The three of us are looking forward to meeting you and sharing this great evening. See you all soon.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Calstar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Calstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Calstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, the stories are so thick today. I mean, the off-air stuff and the stuff that's on-air is crazy. It's so much fun. And if you want to join us, 213-432-1090, or you can text us via the app. The amount of stories that Brian has is
a lot of years and a lot of fun, man.
I mean, decades worth of stuff that is just incredible, Brian.
I spend too much time on the ocean.
Yeah, but it's all in a good sense, right?
It's just the right amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some, it's not enough.
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to start this off with a really fun text, and it reminded me a lot about Brian and the way that you handle things. And this was from Howard in Santa Maria. It says, my first 16-day trip ever, I was struggling fishing for big tuna. Brian took time out of his day and spoke with me about the positive mentality that is needed while fishing. That talk helped me during that trip and many ever since. And I was hoping Brian could talk a little bit about his thoughts on this topic. It changed the way that I fish. That's from Howard in Santa Maria.
Mr. Coolidge, it's like confidence in anything. It's like the more confident you are, the better you are at doing it. It's like shooting free throws. You got the little 6'1" white dude, John Stockton. He goes up to the free throw line. He knows he's going to make it already, and so he nails it every time. And then you get Shaq coming up there, and he knows that he's not going to make it, and he can't even hit the backboard. So it's the same thing. It's all sports are the same, sport fishing being a sport. It's, you know, you got to have a certain confidence level in what you're doing.
This is very well put.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
For sure.
Another one of the stories that we didn't get a chance to tell, but you were talking about earlier, was, you know, when we were talking about advent of gear and your days on the Royal Polaris, was the very beginning of fishing the kite. In our like more modern long range style, and how that came about, and how it was a thing that, you know, was almost laughable for you guys, and now it's used every day, every trip, everything. Can you share that one with us?
Crystal methamphetamine was a big part of the 80s, and so we had this customer that
had
his issues.
Yeah.
And so he was in the tackle business, and he would come out, you know, every year with some kind of contraption. And this one year, he came out with this sailfish thing from Florida, and it's the kite. And so we're there, we're kind of putting them off for the 3-H travel down. It was Tim's first 16-H trip was in May. Like, I remember Cal Sheets. There were some big hitters on the boat. And we got to Clarion, and we had good fishing. Got there at 4 o'clock, made our salamis, had good fishing, had some cows on the deck, this and that. And now it's daylight. So back then, you know, we didn't have sardines to fish tuna all day or chunks. It was before chunks, too. So we would prepare to just drive around Clarion 5 times and burn up the daytime until the afternoon where we fish tuna. The long and short of it is this guy goes, God, we really need to try this out. And it's like, remember,
really? Come on.
Remember Rollo cut his 7X off his long rod and we put it on, you know, he tied the kite to his 40-pound and Newell 338 and his 9-footer. And he gets it up in the air and then we read in the directions and we put the clip on. And then we attach the salami, you know, it's a 2-pound mackerel. And we're there, all right, who wants to try it? And everyone has their head down, like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this.
Because, again, this is from the guy that you're like, oh,
yeah.
Here we go. Like, and this was nothing new of him wanting to try all kinds of funky stuff.
What is this circus, you know? Yeah. And that thing got, like, 20 feet off this transom, and just, whoosh, this big old cow blows out on it, and everyone's raising their hand, I want to go next.
Yeah, I'll take the next trip.
And I think Timmy's first trip, I think we had 7/3 and like 32/2
wow.
or something.
No way.
And due to the kite.
I would say at least half of them were from that one yellow kite that started up.
Wow.
And now look at it. Now you got these kids that are kite experts and they invented everything and it's just laugh at it.
Yeah. And they were even born.
At it. Because I remember when that kite went in the water. Oh my God. We launched our skiffs off the boat and, you know, Rollo's out there and everyone's, you know, giving them different directions. Of course, we never found it and it was just
devastation.
Oh, it was devastating. You know, we tried making kites out of trash bags and stuff, but it's just
not the same.
Yeah, not the same. Then a couple years after that, we started chunking and stuff. So it kind of just it changed it from being wahoo trips with the occasional tuna to becoming concentrating on big tuna with wahoo just as entertainment on the side.
Crazy.
How long was it before that kite got out to the you know, is that something you guys kept close to the vest and or is that something you shared with your colleague? Or like, how long did that stay a thing?
So by that time, it was the early 90s, like 91 or 92. And so when I first started working for Frank, code groups were like Fisherman's Landing long-range boats only. Mm-hmm. And so like the Spear and the Angler, they were like Brand X. But by the time the early 90s came around, it became the world code group. So all the long-range boats, you know, we all started talking and changing information. And so it got to the point, you know, when you'd anchor at Clarion or whatever review you were fishing, before you actually throw a bait in the circle, guys were putting up the kite. It just changed the face of what we did.
Great, and change the way skiffs fish today.
Yeah.
50 miles from Point Loma.
But the crazy thing is George Farnsworth, you know, and all these innovators, Zane Grey and all these guys, they were fishing, flying fish in the Catalina Channel on kites 100 years ago.
I know, it's so crazy. And we've talked about it, like the bluefin era today rivals probably the Zane Grey era, right? I mean.
But it's like those that don't adapt and try something new, it's like. It's like we'd be stuck.
Yeah.
You know, we chunk. I remember the New York guys would come out. We chunk at home, and I'd be with my sunglasses like, oh, yeah, out here we use live bait.
Yeah, right.
You know, thinking that, you know, 20 years old, all Joe Cool, working on my tan. But needless to say, it's like.
It's a real deal.
It's that whole chunking thing. I remember we stopped at the outside bank at the Rocks on the way down on a trip, and fishing was better for tuna there than it was at the Revias at that time. So we had a deck load, and I remember we were flaying a bunch for the galley. They were like 40, 50-pounders, and we were throwing the guts and the skin over the side, and there was this 150-pounder swimming around the boat. Everyone's throwing anchovies and jigs and can't hook at this. One guy, I remember, is Gary Dix, was Norm Taniguchi's friend, pinned on a piece of skin on 60-pound, and, you know, free spooled it out there, and the thing came up and ate it, and we got it, like this 150-pounder. And so
Was that like the beginning?
That was the beginning. So we went straight to Roca Partida, and Frank says, you know what?
Probably a chunk line.
Catch your own, fish your own at like 4 in the morning. So you catch your own salami, you pin it on this and that. You don't get a bite, you throw it in the fish box.
Yeah.
So we started cutting them up, making these little California rolls and throwing them over the side. And for the first year, it wasn't cool to fish a chunk, you know, if you're a passenger.
Okay.
So these things, these big cows would come up the chunk line all the way to their spinning circles at the gate. Because no one would fish them.
Yeah.
And so we'd get our bass and snorkels, and we'd all jump over the side and watch these big tuna in the chunk line. Then people are like, oh, I'm going to try this, you know. And then we would start hooking them.
Incredible.
And within a year, along with that kite going up, guys are soaking chunks immediately. And then we stopped seeing them in the chunk line because we're hooking them, you know, a boat length behind the boat. But
you'd get a 200-pounder at your feet. Eating chunks as you
spin in circles.
Water.
Yeah. Nighttime.
Waiting for the next one.
Nighttime, daytime. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's those big ones. They get so big by not exerting energy. That's why they're up that chunk line. We didn't catch a whole lot of 50 pounders. We got more 200 pounders than we did small school size ones.
Incredible.
And again, you're hooking a fish on heavy tackle. You're not having to fish a light line to fly line of bait. You got them on the right gear.
Yeah.
With both scenarios, the kite and the chunk.
Yeah. And then sardines came around too, around that whole early 90s. And then, you know, long range fishing, it's the rest is history.
That's cool.
Amazing stories.
Yeah.
Man.
Love it. Love
the history.
Well, we need. I would monopolize all the time having such a good time. Let's jump back into the phones. Lots of great stuff coming still.
Let's do it. How about Hills? Hills calling from Ventura. Good morning, Hills.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I got to ride the Angler first of the month here in May for the first time, and I had heard from my buddy that went last for how great it was, and he said it's just a whole another level. And it was just amazing. I got to say that your crew was ridiculously great, and you know, maybe Brian's like sports psychologist thing is, you know, those guys soaked that up. But so I was going to go on another of the biggest boats at Point Loma 2 weeks later, and I was asking Brian's crew, hey, who's the coolest deckhand so I could try to meet him on this other boat? And they go, well, you know what they say if that boat had our crew, that'd be the best boat in the fleet. And it ended up to be true. So anyways, if anybody's thinking about going on the Angler, go on the Angler. It's the best experience I've ever had, and I've been on many boats there in all the different landings. So thank you very, very much.
I appreciate that, Hill. You know, I can't say enough about the crew that we have working for us. They bought into the program, and they're fantastic. They're great.
And it's incredible, Ray. Ray's been on here, and you guys have told the story about how he got on the boat, and he's really a mini Brian. I mean, he stands on his own, but his personality and his approach is awesome.
It's the whole intimidation factor. I remember as a kid going on the half day boat, how intimidating it is, and you know, you see the regular come on that knows all the crew members and stuff, and it's super intimidating. And I remember going barracuda fishing on the city of Seal Beach, and I went back the next week, and the deckhand said, "Hey Brian, how's it going?" And that was it.
Changed your world.
Changed my world. It didn't matter if we caught a fish, didn't catch a fish. I was part of the team, part of the adventure,
the camaraderie.
Yeah, and that's what sport fishing's about.
Yeah,
if you like to kill things, get a commercial license and give it a try.
Yeah.
And you guys do that. You guys, I mean, we have to say it right off the bat. Like, you do that with the best person maybe in our industry, and that's with the first phone call to Lori. Like, Lori starts the procedure off just the coolest person that is in this business. And, you know, you guys create such a family with the American Angler, the way you take care of everybody. And between you and Ray and she and your crew. And the thing is, it's not like... You can't fake that. Like, you can be polite to people because that's what you're supposed to be, or you can be what you guys are. Like, it's not faked. I mean, you really, the reason that the American Angler has such a family type feel with all the passengers is because it's what it is.
It
yeah,
is
exactly.
Family.
Here's the crazy thing, Rick. We've been on for an hour and 45 minutes, and Brian is so humble. It's taken him this long for us to talk about
his boat.
His boat. Seriously.
But with that being said, we have two spots on an upcoming 8-day and a two spots on an upcoming 3-day that just opened up.
With all honesty right there. Yeah.
When is that?
June 2nd. We leave for 8 days. Yeah. I'm looking forward to driving. Yeah. I'm hoping it's old
school. So you're running the 8-day.
I'm hoping it's old school yellowfin tuna, yellowtail on the anchor, and one anchor job at the rocks. Yeah. And then right after that, immediately following, I believe it's the 10th, there's two spots open on a 3-day.
Cool. 3-day is such a great trip this year, too, with the bluefin around, chance of coastal yellowtail. You got some cool options for a short amount of time.
That's good stuff.
I dig it. Well, hey, I had a fun text come through, and it reminded me of that. It says, the American Angler is such a great boat. I especially love Lori and Chef Javier. With the craze of what's happening now, with the increasing popularity of speed jigging and anything like that in respects to deckhand and operations, I was wondering if Brian could continue with the old school and talk some about of his favorite old school yo-yo jig yellowtail bites.
Oh, how about that?
You know, how about how I've seen the whole bluefin thing evolve. In the early 90s, we had a good run of...
We had a couple years of a hit.
Of good bluefin fishing, up to 250-pounders and this and that. And the big reel tackle innovation of the time was a TLD 30 and a TLD 20. A little bit before Spectra.
It was still mono. Yeah.
We would fill these TLD 30s with straight 60-pound. And that would be your fly line daytime rig for 60, 80-pound fish. And so it was hard to get the line on tight, so they would always be fluffy. And so, you know, we're always speed casting everyone's baits out that can't, you know, pin a bait or cast as well. So we would get these rods and reels, and they would always have fluffies invariably in it. So it's going to be an immediate backlash. So we had 10-ounce sinkers in all the hand wells. So, you know, you put it on a 2-aught hook, you throw it over the side, sink straight down. And
the sinker was literally just meant to pull the line down so you could repack it tight.
Yeah, so you can wind it on tight, take the sinker off, cap, fly line a bait. We started hooking fish on these sinkers.
Wow.
Or they'd come back, oh, what was that? You're winding them in. They're coming up with deep scratch marks in them. So then we got our... The rig at the time was a Yellowtail Special with 50-pound and like a Saber 670.
Narrow 4.0 with 4-1 gears.
And so we would tie on our yo-yo jigs and go up to the bow and throw them downwind and get bit on the sink. And, you know, a lot of times they would swallow it, and so you'd get the treble hooks in their gills. And so, you know, deckhand with no shirt on, you wind them in real quick. You think you're all, like, macho and stuff. But really, it's because they're bleeding, you know, that type deal. And that's kind of how that whole jigging thing started. Yeah. You know, granted, we didn't do it at night. I think we would have knocked them. We would have clobbered them back then. But that's kind of how that whole bluefin yo-yo thing's... In my eyes, during my time, that's how it started.
And I remember it was chrome. Like, chrome was the big, like, Taddy had the, I forget the numbers, but they had smaller, it was a BF.
Remember, they were Taddy Ys.
Y2, that's it, the Taddy Y2, which was a single piece of stainless or brass, but cut at a 45-degree angle on each end to give it some, you know, movement or look.
Single hook Taddy Ys.
Oh, dude.
I remember selling a rack in the old store. We'd have the Taddy 9 blue and chrome that was made of all brass, and it's a little more dense and it sank better, and then the Taddy 4.0 heavy blue and chrome. And we had a big sign that said Bluefin Special. And I remember, like, as a kid, like, that was my job. Like, as soon as I got to the store, was to make sure there was plenty of those and plenty of Zucker feathers that were tied up on the bar ahead of time. And, like, there would be summer times when, you know, I would clock into work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then we didn't close till 11, and, like, you would tie zucchini and Mexican flag albacore feathers for 8 hours and not keep up with the amount of people grabbing and fish traps and lead heads to go on the slide. Like, you couldn't keep up with just putting the stuff up on the counter.
So crazy.
Yeah, they were fun.
I remember some of those small chrome jigs, the hooks were actually larger than
the jig.
So crazy.
That's really cool. Well, let's grab another phone call, Corey.
Oh, the memories. How about Dave? Dave is calling from the Searcher. How about that?
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody?
We're doing great.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm going to make this a quick report. We got a few late yesterday afternoon. One on the kite, probably about 150, 160.
All right.
And then as the sun went down, we got a few more. Probably smallest one was 80. Same thing up to 150 pounds. So I think we got about 10 on board right now into a 3-day trip.
That's awesome, Dave, and sounds like some quality to go along with it. Well, a great start, and we wish you guys some continued success. And man, if you finish up strong, we want to hear a report afterwards.
Sounds good. We'll touch base tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dave. Appreciate
and
that.
And when he
very
calls
much.
Back, it'll be Dave from Lemon Grove. That's our man right there.
That's cool.
Yeah, good times.
A lot of fun. Why don't we grab another, Corey?
How about Alex? Alex calling from San Carlos. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'll just share a quick story. Back in, I think it was like 1998, my cousin and I, we went on the, I think it was a Cherokee Geisha, and we went on our albacore trip, and my mom, she was just used to me like grabbing the rock cod, you know, when you go down to Baja. So she's like, make sure you bring them home. I'm like, okay. So my cousin and I, we both limited it out, and my mom shows up with this like little rolling beer cooler. And she's like, what am I supposed to do with all that fish? You know, it was like the funniest thing in the world.
That's cool.
Yeah, but I still have like my old Hazookers that I use on that trip. I mean, this is, oh man, it's like over 20 years ago, maybe going on 25 years. So I was just trying to see if you guys have any cool albacore stories.
Oh my God!
Well, I'll tell you one thing about Zookers that I definitely miss from my beginning years is certainly on Brian and Sam's boat, but the same on every single boat in the fleet was seeing a milk crate that was tuna corded to both corners on each side of the boat. Every boat, no matter what, like every boat had a milk crate and a boat line
fish.
Yeah,
heck yeah. Albacore, I mean. I think that's the root of all sport fishing. It's one of my favorite kinds of fishing. I know my partner Sam, he's just bonkers over that whole albacore fishing.
It's just something that people go crazy about. It's when it happens,
the adrenaline rush of
yeah.
Look up and
but,
then.
But yeah, the people it brings, they come from out of the woodwork, and literally every cycle it comes around, you bring new people back into it that bring gear from 20 years ago.
It's crazy, and because they're delicious.
Yeah.
When we bought the Pacific Queen, I'll never forget May 12th. The producer, Ray Sobia, we finished up on Yellowtail early outside Pescadero Point, and he's, I went to take a look offshore, and so he was at the finger bank, and he goes, man, I see jumpers. I'm not going to even say what I think they are. And we're all like sitting on the edge of our seats,
yeah.
You know, and then he goes, man, we just got a jig strike.
And there hadn't been fish
previous in 10 years. Yeah, 10 years. And then the next thing was, it's an 18-pound albacore.
Wow.
And then we all had chills, and we were all
the fleet
cheering.
The
and,
fleet had
oh,
chills.
Yeah. And then back then, you know, you had to give your credit card at Fisherman's Landing, and then you were on the reservation book, that big sheet.
Yeah,
remember
totally.
That? So we had like 49 reservations for the next month to fish the islands and stuff like that. So we went anchovy fishing with 49 people, scratch fishing albacore for the
wow.
next month with 49 people.
And that's the way it happens. They just show up. Like, even with today's technology and imaging and sea service temps and chlorophyll, all this stuff, could you read it? I mean,
back then, you know, there was more of a local jig fleet that spread out all over the place, you know, and the Mexican-American borderline was a little bit more lenient, so guys would kind of like be in Mexican waters looking offshore, but now there's none of that. Our only comms with the deep sea are the local longliners.
Mm-hmm, right.
And whether or not they have a jig out during daytime
sure.
and stuff like that, so it's like, who knows? They could be thick. Like, it could be like rust right now at 250 miles.
Yeah, right.
But no one's there to check it out.
I love the way you said that. I mean, how he stumbled across those fish was just because. And had
yeah.
he not done that, who's to say?
Yeah.
You know, who's to say whether it does or it doesn't?
Yeah, hey, such great stories. Man, I wish we had more time, but we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the San Diego when we return on a list talk of Kapap, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and 2 interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Hey, San Diego, Sell-a-thon means big savings, great selection, and only 5 days to save. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers now through Memorial Day and get great offers on the most popular Ford trucks and SUVs. It's the Ford Memorial Day Sell-a-thon, and that means now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. But hurry, these offers absolutely end May 28th. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer today, they'll be glad to hook you up.
Hook up! All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Brian's going to have the honors of flipping the coin.
All right.
Texter, and the texter today is Howard in Santa Maria.
Hey, congratulations, Howard. You have a great time fishing with Captain Ryan Bach. Who knows? Maybe Brian will be pushing the sticks around with you and Brawler. Get you on that hot whitefish spot.
I know it, right?
Brian, what can I say, man? What an awesome show. This Incredible. Was so much fun talking story and having a great time, and you fish such an awesome career, and you brought so much fun to everybody here, myself, and everybody that's had a chance to fish with you and your team and the American Angler, and I loved it, and man, thanks so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you guys for the opportunity.
So much fun. You did mention those two trips, though, and you know, the Angler, it's not an easy boat to get on because you guys do such a good job, and a couple of rare opportunities. One more time, if somebody wants to come fishing with you and Ray upcoming trips, how do we do it?
Just get online and talk to Lori, and also 223-5414.
Awesome.
619.
Great job. We sure appreciate that. Appreciate you and Lori. We appreciate you guys. Tomorrow, another great show. Captain Jamie from Season Sport Fishing will be joining us. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090.